welcome to the Mad Trio Podcast. This week we have the California Pariah, Jonathan Charney, James the Fat Man Stevens.
Hello.
And the man who's trying out for Neil Peart's place in Rush, Ryan Preston. I suggest, Rush.
I need a lot more cardio.
I was going to say, Rush, I suggest you keep looking.
Yeah. Yeah, that'll be a pretty short audition.
Have you even played?
Are you setting up a five-piece drum set? Get the fuck out of here.
I was going to ask you, have you played any drum sets that are, like, that complicated?
No. I played a set, some guy's set. It might have been maybe about an 8-9 piece, something like that, maybe 6-7 cymbals.
And I guess
he probably had 15 drums and maybe more like 25 cymbals.
And I guess the other question, would you actually know how to play it? Because that's a lot of drums.
It would take you a while just to kind of figure out what it's capable of. You know what I mean? Like the sorts of things you can put together.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm always amazed. There's a YouTube video, and I wish I remembered, of this preacher that literally has this drum set where there's this like little escape patch that you actually have to crawl into, and he's like, it looks like a beehive. He's surrounded by all these drums, and it's just like, besides the fact I think it's ridiculous, that's pretty badass, the fact if there's a fire, you're fucked.
There's a theory of art lives within its limitations. You know, which is to say, like, if I put you in a room with every instrument known to man, you wouldn't even know where to start. You know, if I put you in there with a flute and a triangle, you'd come up with something, you know, in an hour.
Yeah, you know what I was going to say? You want to really screw them up, give them some weird instruments, you know, like a zanfir and an oboe.
You know, one of the...
Yeah.
Interesting things I learned after Michael Jackson died, besides a shit ton of jokes that came out 5 minutes after the news was put out, is that he was proficient with hundreds of musical instruments. And that, like, I knew he was a great musician. Like, I will never argue the point of Michael Jackson's music ability. Like, I wasn't a big fan of his music. I had, like, a few of it, but I guess he was just an amazing musician with multiple instruments as well, which is pretty damn cool, actually.
I'm not surprised, considering the fact how, you know, he pretty much got beat by his father.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't be surprised if it was something that, besides the fact I bet he really enjoyed it, I wouldn't be surprised if it was something that was drilled into him to some degree.
Yeah, for sure. You cannot take away the influence of the family on that one. But, you know, not to even try to take away anything at all, but one can definitely become proficient at that many instruments because so many of them translate to the next, you know. Yeah. If you can play a guitar, you can play a bass.
Yeah.
You know, you might not be the greatest bass player or have these sorts of things that, like, a, quote, bass player would have, but you know a string instrument.
Yeah.
You know keys, you know wind instrument, you know, you can kind of categorize them and come up with something.
So you're not going to be Flea, but you may be like, you know, Flea's second cousin twice removed.
Yeah.
Well, it's like learning a two languages, both based in Latin. You know, you're going to notice some similarities, some context similarities and not just words. It's obviously not the same. But you're like, okay, I'm kind of understanding the syntax here a little bit.
Exactly. So, that's why one of the most greatest comedians ever to live.
George Carlin?
Nope, Harpo Marx. If you ever watched man play the harp, to go from what his character is to the intensity and pleasure he had to hold a harp and to play it, and then watch him play the piano, it's like he's amazing in both of them. And basically what a harp is just the backboard of a piano upright. And it's basically exactly what it comes down to, except for, you know, you have a little bit more control with a harp, but, you know, there's a couple.
Yeah, you're plucking, you've got some it's different fingering and things like that, but literally the same concept. You almost, and the interesting thing about piano and harp and xylophone and things like that is it's very linear. You know, anybody that's ever played guitar would know the weird shape your hand is making for certain chords, certain notes. You know, you would think that the higher note would be higher up on the neck, but not necessarily.
Yeah.
You know, with a piano, everything is very linear. So it speaks to a certain kind of mindset where it's like, I understand this.
Yeah, exactly.
I get what they're trying to do. This is low. This is high. I get it.
Yeah.
I want to start a new segment. Reasons why we should disconnect the internet. Well, here's
why you should turn this.
Hold on. I got the biggest one. I got the biggest one. So that we can bring back adult movie theaters.
Sounds sticky.
Yeah.
That's a detriment for disconnecting the internet. Sorry, guys.
Yeah, they're gonna have a ladies' night.
But man, that's one of those indicators of a town, though. You know what I mean? You don't have too many indicators anymore where you drive through and you're like, oh, there's this type of place. I don't want to get a motel here.
Yeah, that's true.
However, I've always kind of wish I had like a ton of money, because then I'd go up to the porno theater. It's like, look, I'll give you $1 million if for the next week you play Altered States. So here's the reason I think we might want to disconnect the internet. Rush Limbaugh just said he has advanced lung cancer. Now, he hasn't said what stage, but advanced seems to sound like it's
terminal,
three or four. And one of the issues I have, and not with Rush, I mean, Rush is what he is. He's a commentator and, you know, he's a talking head. But you look on Twitter, you look on Facebook and all the social media, you get a lot of people saying, hey, I'm glad he's dying. You deserve to die, you piece. You know, you get all this. And I wasn't particularly happy when people were saying horrible things about Obama. I wasn't happy when they would say it about other people. So it kind of bugs me, is this is what the internet is. The internet is basically saying, hey, I'm glad you're dead. It really bothers me is that's what we're breeding in today's society. Because I'll be honest, if Rush Limbaugh was my dad and somebody said it to me, there's a good chance I'd fucking hit you.
Well, and that's the point that I've tried to make so many times, man, is that nobody has these sorts of conversations in real life. The vast majority of people are having reasonable conversations, and the vast majority of people are not on Twitter or flaming fucking comments on YouTube, you know, and things like that. They've got kids to raise and work to go to and then things to enjoy. So it's never the majority opinion. It's just the loudest one in the room. And we can't get to him to choke him out to stop him from talking.
So here's what an acquaintance of mine said. She said, Rush is garbage. He is a garbage human. He has zero compassion himself. He does nothing but spread hate. So besides the fact, I actually don't think Rush Limbaugh spreads hate, but your politics may vary. Here's my point. Whatever happened to, and maybe this is a Christian ideal, I thought this was a human ideal, is turn the other cheek. All because somebody is this way, whatever happened to showing compassion, even though you disagree with a person? I mean, I don't understand it. I mean, because by that sentence to me, it was like, that's kind of cold. And my comment later was like, look, I mean, I don't think he's a hate monger. He's definitely has a point of view, but he's dying of cancer. I've known people have died with cancer. It's a shit journey. It's a horrible way to end.
Yeah.
You know, I don't care if it was worse.
Yeah, well,
you know, I literally don't care if it's Pol Pot or Hitler. I don't want anybody to die that way.
Yeah, that's what I think. It's a minority opinion. And I understand that. You know, what bugs me is that the crazy comments, the extremes on either side are the ones that get the publicity, because they're the ones that get our blood boiling.
Yeah.
You know, 90% of the time it's trolls. It's literally people just trying to see if they can piss everybody off. You know, so
I don't even think it's trolls anymore.
Anybody that has that opinion, like people who say that he just spreads hate, I understand the spiteful approach or the, oh, apparently you're a baby, I have to hold your hand through this point kind of attitude. I get that. So I sort of understood, you know, his politics aside from mine, you know, where he was coming from, you know, and that certain people on the other side of that have the same kind of attitude and it bugs me just as much, but I get it. I see where it comes from. That kind of comment, though, is the kind of thing that even if you, like you said, even if you don't like the person, completely have zero respect for them, you know, it's a person who's out there trying to do what we're all doing, figure all this shit out, you know?
I think it's pretty low class and piss poor if you're actually happy about it. You know, and it's maybe because of the fact that I'm getting older and I'm seeing kind of what the society I grew up on in and the society you have now. And when I was a kid, people would get in arguments. I remember people when I was a kid going, F you, F this, F that. But I don't remember the cruelty that's in modern society. And I think it's creeping into real life. At least it is, it comes to politics. Because, you know,
I definitely remember the cruelty. I remember nobody giving a shit about our opinion. You know, because we're fucking dumb kids.
Well, maybe
so they just flat ignore us most of the time.
Well, maybe it's the fact maybe people today just don't have thicker skin. Well, if you look at, for example, the TV show All in the Family. Granted, it was the 70s. Nothing was perfect. Yada, yada. Okay, so once that's over with. But you see, they made fun of everybody. The whole joke was Archie Bunker is a racist.
Asshole.
So you see that, or you see the Dean Martin celebrity roasts, and you listen to what Don Rickles had to say, and vice versa, and you seem to think that these people had respect for each other, but they were cracking on everything. One of my favorite stories is Sammy Davis Jr. If you don't know him, he's an African American,
and he's Jewish,
and one of the hotels wouldn't let him in the front. And Frank Sinatra said, here's the deal. You let him in the front or you don't get me. And this is in Vegas. This is he's the chairman of the board. So it seemed to me that there was respect. And nowadays, I think everybody just has thin skin.
I think it's a mix. Okay.
Well,
so I think
everybody understood intent.
Hold on. Now, I think it's a mix of what Ryan said and what you said, John. So I think it's the fact that when we were kids, as Ryan said, our opinion as a kid didn't matter. Didn't matter up until we were like almost voting age, if we were lucky. And then it also comes to the fact that it's people don't have a thicker skin. So people grow up, they get on the internet, they start putting their opinions out there, they get likes. So that to them is like, oh yeah, I'm being encouraged by other people who agree with me. So my opinion has value. So when somebody comes along and tells them that your opinion doesn't have value at that stage, they're like, no, fuck you. I've got a bunch of people who agree with me. So they don't have a thicker skin and they can't see past their
anonymity.
Yeah. And they can't see past that to be able to be like, oh, my opinion is basically a joke that we can make fun of. They don't see it that way. So, they're not allowing themselves to have the fact of being like, oh, there are certain things that my opinion is basically a joke because it only matters to me.
Which is amazing coming from somebody with a name like Songbird 420 or Last Week's Freaks, you know, all these people.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, the weird names.
That's what I was saying, though, is that back when we didn't have a voice, nowadays every fucking dumb shit with their dumb shit idea has as much anonymity as they want versus being in the room. You know, any adult would have just looked over at us goofing in the corner saying, hey, shut the fuck up. We've got to have a conversation over here.
Yeah, no, exactly.
I remember when I was a kid, I had a voice, but the difference was the fact that my parents or the adults in the room would shouted you down pretty quick if it was one of those ideals. It was like, that was dumb, or this is why that's a bad idea. You had a voice, but you had a filter being an adult.
Well, you had respect for the person you were talking to. You know what I mean? So they wouldn't have tolerated these flame sorts of comments. Oh, this guy deserves to burn in hell, et cetera, et cetera. And those, you know, sorts of things. But,
fuck, James's mom would have probably thrown frozen marbles at him if he said something like that.
That's why you gotta learn how to duck.
Yeah, you get reflexes.
Yeah,
you
do.
You don't get smart.
You sure do.
Kind of hard if you're in a wheelchair, though.
I got some skills.
I'm just kind of tired of, and like, I'm at this point, I'm actually filtering people out on Twitter that mention politics. I enjoy some things of Twitter. There's this lady on Twitter who I actually agree with most of the stuff she's saying. And she's very pro-boy, pro-male, basically saying it's time we in society elevate men to some reason. Let men and boys know they're important. Because if you've been following society to some degree, if you're not fucking blind or completely biased, you can see that men have kind of gone by the wayside. For example, there's more women in college now than there ever have been. And there's this boy, suicide for men, et cetera, and all this stuff. And she's saying, look, maybe it's time we look at the argument and say, okay, maybe boys need help. And a lot of the stuff, she's like, this is interesting. I kind of agree. But the amount of hate this woman gets for not being, you know, a feminist or a feminazi, you know, it's, I find it weird. And my curious is the fact that how many are actually a holder of a vagina, or how many are just these guys that think I'm going to be a woke on the lady side without thinking. Because I'm curious, and I'm using the derogative of, you know, having a vagina just to prove a point. You know, I'm being piggish, you know, a jackass on purpose.
You know, the whole, you know, women's issue thing, I mean, kind of comes down to not like I can't have an opinion, but I understand outright that I'm not going to have like a fully informed opinion.
Well, this, you know? well, this
I could only speak from the point of view of how it would affect me.
Well, her comment really isn't necessarily about like women's issues. I haven't heard her say anything about abortion. I'm saying that
you know, I don't like the people who say, you know, women's issues at the expense of insert a thing. I'm for women's issues to the point of equality. You know, that's, I thought, what this was all for. I don't want some extra helping of something because I happen to be a dude. You know what I mean? That's not how it should work.
And so
as long as it works that way, where it's all equal, then to me there's no more argument. Like, what are we talking about? Like, women need to rule the world for like 1,000 years and then we're good. Or what?
So I want to bring this up as a question. And then I'm going to continue on with where Ryan was at, because I agree with part of what he's talking about. So, okay.
But I interject just real quick? Okay. I would say that her point, just to kind of frame this a little bit better, is she's more egalitarian, basically saying men and women have their roles.
Egalitarian.
And they're not always the same. They could be the same thing, but they're not always. Basically, it's one of the things saying that modern society seems to want to fit women in a box. And this box is, you got to be 100% equal with men. And her comment was, you know, not every woman wants to work 8 hours a day, you know, 12 hours a day and this and that. And that was kind of her comment was, you know, separate but equal sometimes is still equal.
Okay, I get you. Okay, so where I was going to start with is this. Do you think that what she's kind of going for is to get more of manly male role models in society? Now, growing up, we had a lot of John Wayne. You know, we still had John Wayne. We had Clint Eastwood. And we had.
Yeah, I was just talking to somebody the other day about those Davy Crockett movies.
Oh, yeah. And then also we had, you know, kind of more of like the Mel Gibson. We had Bruce Willis. I'll even throw Arnold in there, of manly men.
To be fair, we had Braveheart and we had John McClane.
You want me to read some of her tweets to see exactly?
No, hold on. But that's kind of where I'm going with it. Do you think that more of what she's saying is that we need to have more male role models in that sense, and she wants manly men to step up and to become that? Is that what you're kind of thinking she's going with?
I would say, so I'd say definitely she definitely talks about needing more male role models. She says how there's more men in prison than there's women, which is statistically true. She also says, you know, we need healthy male. And usually when people say manly men, they have the vision of the wrong type of masculinity. But she's saying, we need healthy male role models in people's lives. And she's also saying, look, you know, boys and girls having a father in their life is beneficial. or a male role model. Like one of these things, she says, let's see, hold on. She has a bunch of tweets. Let's see. There was one I just found. Society says boys and men must change to work with our mental health services. Maybe our mental health services should change to better address boys and men's mental health needs. And a lot of this stuff is that. And she also criticizes women, like belittling motherhood in order to influence young women to choose a career over family creates a culture change, doesn't only affect those women. And so I think some of the stuff she's raising to me, I think is an interesting, healthy conversation, because you always hear it one side, and hearing a woman say, hey, you know, I like being a mom. You know, I think it's kind of a cool thing in society, which I never thought I would hear 30 years ago.
Yeah, I could see that.
Mean, that was something you did hear a lot, you know, 30 years ago and before, and but it, you know, to me, it's always been about options. Like, look, I'm not fighting for, you know, from a woman's perspective, not to say that I know, I'm not fighting from the point of view of I want to go be an astronaut, just that I want the option to be. I don't want to be excluded from that as an option for me or my kids or future generations. But I very much want to maybe stay at home the same way that some guys want to stay at home or some girls want to go swing a hammer. It's about whatever you're into and not being hindered in doing that.
Oh, no, 100%. And it seems like some of these women I've talked to, by the way, I've talked to some hardcore feminists. And by the way, if you're out there, not all feminists are the same. Pay attention what wave they are. Believe it or not, that does actually matter.
If you meet somebody claiming to be a feminist, you've met one feminist. It does not indicate
by the way,
feelings or viewpoints of all
people claiming the same title. I would say third and fourth wave feminists to me are fairly toxic. The ones I've talked to, and I've talked to quite a few of them. Some of them mean well. It's just the presentation. All of them are just straight up man haters. But by the way, you could say the same thing. The people are 100% pro man. Is they're just hate women. But yeah. A lot of these so-called feminazis just think, you know, men suck. Men have oppressed women for thousands of years, so men finally know what it's like, et cetera, instead of realizing, hey, everybody fucks up. Let's make the world better.
Yeah. And the other one I was going to bring up is Ryan was mentioning, you know, like equality. Like if a woman wants to do a job that is generally a man's job, she should be able to do that. But as far as I'm concerned, she should be able to do it as well as a man. If not better.
Well as the job needs.
Yeah.
You know, as the job dictates.
And when I say as well as a man, I'm saying as well as a competent man. So it needs to be a competent female doing the same job as a competent man, same task, no real change. And as far as I'm concerned, she should get paid the same.
So basically meet the qualifications that the job entitled.
Now, I looked online, just a quick little search, because I remember, you know, a couple years ago, when women were getting into the Navy SEAL training. Do you remember the whole big scandal that was coming out of that, of because the requirements?
They
and everything?
Were lowering the standards, right?
They lowered the standards initially. I just checked online, and the standards for both male and female are exactly the same. So, but I remember them talking about lowering the standards so they get in. And as far as I'm concerned, why would I want somebody next to me, male or female, who can't meet the same requirements as me, and I'm in a firefight with this person, I want to know that this person is as qualified as I am to do this job with me. Because that's my ass out there with bullets flying, which is basically what SEALs encounter a lot of. You know, like, I want to know that this person is as capable as me. I don't care if they're male, female, black, white, tan, Mexican, Asian. I don't give a shit. What race, what gender? I just want to know that they can handle their own with me out there. You know?
I've heard a number of military guys say that way, and I've also, and this is online, I've never talked to guys in the military like first to person like this, but I've heard guys say that. I've also heard guys say, no, I don't want a woman because all my guys are going to be going protecting her and they're going to get themselves killed. And I have no idea military-wise what is the right idea. I mean, my opinion is basically what James is. If you can meet the specifications and qualifications for that job, then go ahead. What the hell do I care? Especially the military. It's not something I've ever wanted to do.
And another thing is what John was saying. If she's capable enough to handle her own like she should be, I guarantee some of those SEALs that initially would be like, oh, I got to protect this person, will realize, no, this chick's a badass. I want her next to me.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, and I guarantee that would be the attitude at some point.
If the standards are the same, you know, then anybody that meets those standards, I don't give a fuck what you look like or if you're an alien or what.
Yeah.
You meet those standards, that's some bad motherfucking standards.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah, and inevitably she's going to be called one of the boys, which is usually the highest praise men can give anybody. It's like, hey, she's one of the boys. Don't fuck with her.
Yeah. You know? And I care, and
well, and you know, look, it doesn't even, you know, I can't believe I'm fucking being this guy nowadays. It doesn't even have to be the gender specific fucking thing. Just like you're one of us. You're one of the people who are in this fucking particular group.
And I'll even say this, you know, I don't even care, give a shit if you're a transvestite in that whole situation.
Oh, yeah, no,
you know, anyway, I don't care.
You mean transgender?
Who can take orders?
Whatever they call themselves these days.
Transvestite's different.
Whatever. Transvestite, transgender, I don't care. But if I'm out there, I want you to be able to shoot straight and hit the target you're aiming at.
Yeah. And I do, to kind of circle back a little bit, I do like this woman's opinion far as we need to focus or at least figure out why men are failing. No, some people don't think it's true. I mean, I remember as a kid seeing kind of this, you know, far as girls focusing heavily on girls, and I don't know. I always thought that everything can be better. I never thought education-wise or society-wise you could focus on one gender or another because everybody's different.
Yeah.
You know, I always kind of wished that, like, for example, boys learn better after recess because usually you have, usually leading up to recess, there's a lot of energy. It's been proven that recess burns energy. So longer recesses actually help boys who naturally have more energy to focus more because they've kind of bled some of the energy out.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see that. But I think it's just, I don't know. I'm kind of thinking that it might actually be the male role model thing because I can't think of any major male role model coming out in the past few years other than Dwayne Johnson in the big box office thing. I mean, you got a couple of the Marvel action heroes that I'm sure that kids can look up to, but I mean, like, somebody more along the lines of, like, you know, more relatable than Fantastic Powers. Tom Brady, yeah.
Her thing really was kind of like all of the above, really. But the role models thing she seems to definitely be on. Like, I would definitely say Dwayne Johnson. I would say Chris Pratt to some degree. I still, maybe it's because I'm an adult. I have issues labeling Hollywood celebrities or sports figures or all the above is role models. But reality is they are. I mean, they're people you look up to because the actors are specifically because you see them acting a certain type of character, so you associate them no matter how they really are.
Yeah.
Like, you know, if...
Yeah, it definitely shows our fucking bias talking about, male role model and we go right to, you know, superhero movies and shit. But,
well, like Chris Pratt, if you actually pay attention to some of the stuff he's done, I'm just talking about the stuff that you hear about him. He generally seems to be a nice guy. There's a video out of him somewhere. He gave somebody an autograph, and the guy he gave the autograph was talking shit to another person, and Chris Pratt says, "Hey, you're a Christian, right?" You know, it was basically bitching at the guy out for what he did, saying, "You know, you need to be better if you're representing that." So he seems to be a guy who legitimately it was at least a good guy as far as you can tell via a 20-second
clip. I mean, but
clip.
Would you put him out as up there with Clint Eastwood and John Wayne?
I guess the question is, what's a role model? If you want to go that far.
If I want to throw
that's
back.
The thing. I mean, you know, role models are going to be pretty specific to the parentage, you know, things like that. Who you respect as an individual. What I think, just to speculate, what you might be getting at is just don't demonize what what some would classify as like the toxic masculinity, throwing the baby out with the bathwater. You know, sure, let's get rid of some you know, subtle sexist behavior and things like that. But learning how to, you know, work with your hands or be self-reliant, these things are not something to be ashamed of or stop learning. You know,
You know what? You gave
but also, you know, educate yourself in all of those things. I mean, you know, smart people are just as valuable as the ones who can, you know, fix their own sink.
I would say, you know, far as if you want a role model, and this is a little, I think somebody like Mike Rowe, if you see, because he at least seems to be a guy who's very thoughtful, who's very, wants to get people out there working with their hands, because there is there's not a glut of those people. You know, it's people who with skills are harder to find now. So I, you know, I'm just trying to think, how do you, if you wanted to boil down like the basics of a role model, what would it be? Would it, you know, because it's going to be stereotypically anyways, but what would you, how would you classify a role model? Like what bullet points?
I mean, Mike Rowe's kind of a pretty decent starting point. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, I think
a guy who's very, very confident in his, in who he is as a person, in his, you know, morals and ethics from what I can tell, you know, respects an honest day's labor and also respects, you know, the deep knowledge that comes from, you know, wisdom and, you know, being well read and those sorts of things. I mean, that's pretty fucking solid.
Yeah. Yeah. If I was a kid and I had to choose a role model, Mike Rowe would be way up there.
Because I was thinking about it.
And then right next to Dwayne The Rock Johnson, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just trying to think about it. If you wanted to describe a role model, like, I don't know. I'm thinking about it. How would you describe what a role model is? I mean, it, like, legitimately, like, let's think out, like, the bullet points of what a role model is. You know, I'm assuming it would
somebody you want to be when you grow up.
Okay, yeah.
You know? Basically.
Yeah, that's...
Yeah, that's very individual.
Yeah, that's the summation of what I can come to. And, you know, yeah, I mean, somebody...
From time to time, I'm pretty sure when I was 10, I, you know, Blackbeard was my role model.
Yeah, but, you know, I mean, it's somebody that you look up to. You want to be that person when you grow up, and somebody whose ethics, morals, and lifestyle you admire. You know? That's the summation for me.
That's a good definition.
Yeah.
So with that definition, would Clint Eastwood, would say Jerry Rice, would any of those fit any of your definitions?
For me, it would pretty much be like the man with no name. I want to shoot people that piss me off.
Yeah.
You know, like that's kind of honestly where I was when I was a kid. Like, you piss me off, dude, I want to pull out my gun and I want to shoot you in the fucking head.
It's amazing how not much has changed since when
we were
in high school.
You know, but that's honestly what I wanted. But you know, obviously I'm not going to live in the Wild West. But, you know, like, seeing guys like that, like even Clint Eastwood in his Man With No Name series, he stood up for people that got picked on. So you know, he had good morals. He had good intentions for what's going on.
He was chaotic good, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Does that mean
he's going to be good, but doing his own thing.
Does that mean Ryan's ugly?
Is the good reason.
If I'm the good, you're the bad, that makes Ryan ugly.
All right.
I accept that.
Yeah. So I don't know, but that's kind of where I was growing up. But, you know, like, honestly, like, when it came down to it, I wanted to do something that I enjoyed. And I wanted to have the freedom to, you know, basically pave my own way, I guess you would say. But that's kind of like how all those characters were basically. They had decent set of morals. Granted, they were their morals, so people might object to it. But even at the end of the story, you know, their intentions were right, you know? So that's kind of where I was at on it. I didn't really have any ones where I'm like, I want to walk on the moon like Neil Armstrong or any of that shit. Would I be excited to be out in space? Oh, hell yes, I would.
So,
but, you know, like, I don't want to go through the process to get there. Now, my body cannot handle the process to get there because a lot of the G-forces would rip the metal right out of my body. But, you know, all in all, I mean, that sounds like a good way to go as long as I'm out in space, get, you know, spaced out afterwards. You know, just leave me out there. I'll just float around until gravity pulls me into the sun, whatever. You know, eventually in a few thousand years, I'll reach it. 100,000 years, probably. But whatever. I'm dead. I don't really care.
92 million miles? Yeah, it'd take a while.
Yeah, it would take quite a long time. But eventually I'd get there.
4 days to the moon, that's 250,000. you'd be going for a few years there.
A few hundred thousand years.
If Ryan's going to do that math, I'm going to be here a while.
If I was just floated, yeah. If I was pointed and had, momentum and trajectory, I'd be there sooner.
If you were just floating and you happened to catch the sun's gravitational pull eventually.
Yeah, that's what I meant. Yeah.
He would just be.
Yeah, I could be a while.
If he ever gets there, knowing James, he'd probably be hit by a rock.
So now I gotta say, we haven't done this yet. Beginning of February, why the fuck not? Now I pulled up just the CNN list of things to look forward to in 2020. I want to see if you guys agree with them, because I don't. The Summer Olympics in Tokyo is their top. Are you guys looking forward to that? Because I'm not, because they never show the shit I want to see.
I don't think there's any more. There's no trap shooting anymore.
I know, that's what I want to see. I want to see the shooting events.
I've for some reason, as geeky and marky as it is, I really love the gymnastics.
I do too. Some of the male gymnastics, that freaking cross, man. Have you seen the guys do the cross?
No.
Ryan?
On the ring?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Shit is freaking crazy.
So the
I'm a fan of anybody doing something at the highest level possible. So, hits that nerve for me.
So I actually do really
Let me tell you about something that I want to say that I brought up on this show
all
before.
All the gymnastics I did.
Have I ever told you guys about the Marble Olympics?
The Marble?
Like the game marbles?
I came across this string of YouTube videos a few years ago, and I can't remember why the hell it caught my eye in the first place, but it said Marble Olympics, like marble and Olympics, and it had a little marble. And had like the little marbles as rings of, in the shape of the Olympic rings. I click on the video and it's marbles in Olympic style events, like, meter dashes and high jumps and random sorts of things like this, all the marble versions of these things that this guy basically built out of. Like marble tracks and connect
what
sets
the fuck
and
I just
like
googled
that.
It I'm gonna be watching this shit.
Here's the thing, it's incredibly elaborate.
Oh my god,
incredibly elaborate. And let me tell you, the commentary might be my favorite fucking thing of all time. This dude is so fucking dead serious when he gives the commentary. It is exactly like watching the Olympics. It's fucking hilarious, and me and my coworker have been taking bets the last 2 years.
Oh, shit. I might have to jump in on the betting here.
Get in on this shit, bro. We'll hit you with the fucking trees.
Oh, God. Bro. Okay.
You will have favorite marbles. I shit you not, these things have personalities.
Oh, God. I'll be watching this shit when I get home.
So hold on. There's something.
It's amazing.
Okay, I have something to go to say after James, because something I've been wanting to talk about.
Okay, so I'll just run through the ones that caught my eye then.
Go through the whole list. I'm okay with that.
Well, I'm not going to read all 20. There's a shit ton. Oh. 20. I'll just read the first few that caught my eye. So the other one is a medley of new movies. Now, they're talking about Black Widow.
No.
There's going to be another Fast and Furious.
No.
One that I'll be interested in is a new Fantastic Beast, which I actually enjoyed those movies. Right?
Yeah, they were pretty good.
Yeah, and then they brought up Top Gun, which we all know about and discussed on the show.
Kind of excited.
I'm more excited about Ghostbusters, but they also throw in.
I'm wicked excited about Ghostbusters. The more I thought of it after seeing that trailer.
Yeah, no joke. They're redoing West Side Story
again.
Yeah, and then the one that they brought up, and I'm just like, why the hell are people that excited for this? The Sonic the Hedgehog movie. I will wait until that comes out on DVD. But
no shit.
If there's any reason why to invite Ryan up here and smoke a bowl with him, would be to see that movie.
I'll take a freaking gummy bear, Ryan, and I'm talking the big ones.
Yeah, <That's, laughs>
I was thinking about that actually.
Fresno, like last time.
I might get stuck in Fresno. Better than Lodi, I guess.
Yeah.
So, up in my area, they busted a guy who owns a business having a butane honey oil lab.
Oh shit!
And this was a pretty big bust. So this is going to sound weird. I check the arrest logs every day for my local county just to see how many friends I have that I've arrested. It's been a long time, believe it or not. It sounds weird, but it has been. So this guy has a $4,050,000 bail.
Wow.
How much fucking wax was this guy making?
So let me see if I can find the actual thing. I share so much shit, it's almost ridiculous. But so it's for multiple charges. Come on, scrolling through the Super Bowl. Here we go. So one of them is a felony controlled substance, $1 million. Felony conspiracy, $1 million. Convict possessing a firearm, $1 million. Sell, transport, etc. marijuana, $1 million. Felony child cruelty, $50,000.
Huh.
And the part that blew me out of the water is this guy has stacks of butane. Like, I legitimately didn't know you could buy that much butane.
Damn.
Like cases.
Buy a lot of butane.
Yeah.
No, I meant like, let's see if I can find it. It's like contains 300 milliliters of a giant case of butane. And there's
damn.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 boxes.
Damn.
And
I was insane.
And you know the most surprising part of this to me? The dude's house didn't blow.
Yeah.
If you're making this much, I'm really surprised. Like, nothing happened. Like,
you must have had some good ventilation.
Yeah, this whole thing surprised me, too, because it's really close. Let's see. Four people arrested and detectives collected pounds of marijuana, concentrated cannabis lab equipment, cans of butane gas, located 150 unused cans, and 15,000 used canisters.
Who the hell was there counting the used ones?
I'm pretty sure that's the dude who fucked up the day before.
Yeah, no shit.
And you know, can you buy wax at like a pot dispensary?
Yeah.
So how is that legal?
There are legal wax makers.
So this is my question. So how is that legal? Because last time I heard, and this was years ago, that it was still considered like the same process of making meth.
I don't know, but I do know from some of those Drugs Inc., you know, documentary, television, whatever the hell you want to call that now. I think it's a docuseries. Anyways, there are legal wax makers. Wow. So I don't know how they get legalized for that, but whatever.
Hey, Ryan, I'm sending you a picture.
It's probably like you have to certify the process or something like that.
Yeah, I think it is something like that. They certify the process and then, I don't know. But.
So I'm sending you a picture, Ryan, so you could see exactly what I'm talking about.
Okay, so moving along down the list. I know all three of us are excited for this one. The elections.
Yeah, that's a lot of boxes of butane.
By the way, no, I'm not even close to looking forward to elections.
But you know what I am looking for? I am looking forward to the Mars 2020 mission. Now, I am very interested in all that shit.
What the fuck is the Mars 2020 mission?
They are actually going to be sending over a new rover, and they are going to be more like doing landscape and looking for areas of potential start for Mars. Cool.
There is some pretty bitchin' pictures of it, but every time I think of like the Mars rovers, reminds me of that, was it My Favorite Martian movie that came out years ago where it showed one of the Mars rovers and just over the bluff was this huge Martian city?
Yeah. Yeah, I kind of was thinking that would be a cool thing to do. But
of aliens.
Well, there are a lot of people that actually do think that Mars was populated at some point. But anyways, the Washington Monument will be newly opened. They've been working on it.
Oh, that's right, because it was having structural problems.
Yeah.
The last time I was even remotely in D.C., they were shutting down. They were shutting it down because people were passing out. It was like 124 in the heat index. Jeez. And in D.C., it's all concrete and marble.
Yeah. HBO Max, I'm not subscribing. I'm not going to jump out of my way to subscribe to it.
You know,
Ryan, are you interested in HBO Max coming out?
What is HBO Max? How is it different from HBO Go?
It's a different version, I
think. Yeah.
I thought Go was going away and Max was becoming the thing.
Yeah, I don't know. They're saying that they're going to be having all their reboots on there and continue series on there like Westworld. Westworld will be coming at season 3 on the regular HBO, but I don't know. It's one of those I'm like, I'm with Ryan, like what does that mean? And nobody's really hinting exactly at what it all means. And I'm like, I already streamed 3. I don't need to stream every goddamn stream site out there. Just consolidate the shit.
Honestly, I think the best proposition far as streaming services is if you really want to do it, I'd go with Amazon Prime and the $15
Netflix.
No, I was going to say the $15 Disney, because you get Hulu, Disney Plus, and ESPN. Besides that, that literally covers everything. Unless you specifically want some of the Netflix, you know, reality is if you, this is a sidebar, by the way, if you're going for streaming services, find one with the content, but the two I originally mentioned will pretty much cover everything.
Yeah. I stick with Netflix, Amazon, and Disney. I go between.
Yeah, I really like Amazon. Amazon has not let me down.
Yeah, Amazon surprisingly has let me down.
I hate Amazon and Netflix interface.
Hulu and Disney.
See, I don't have Hulu. There's really nothing on Hulu that I'm like, I cannot, you know, stand not watching it.
You know what, for me, is the part that I hate the most is all of my old favorite TV series, they're not anywhere anymore. They're all gone. Like, if, like, ABC, NBC, Disney, and all those decided to make a streaming service called Ye Old Ancient Television, I would actually subscribe to that because I care more about watching old TV shows at this point just because I only have,
you're gonna have the DVD that shit.
Well, I'm going to. I'm actually in the process of buying them. But it's still kind of like, man, I would rather watch an episode of Adam 12 or Dragnet over most TV shows this day because most of them are shitty.
Yeah. So Yahoo turns 25 this year. Do you know what that means?
What?
Their digital time capsule will be opened. I don't really care.
They have a Yahoo digital time capsule.
Yeah, back in 2006, they put out a thing of like, guys, if you want to place a digital whatever here, we'll store it in our time capsule and open it in 25 years. I didn't give a shit.
My favorite thing.
That's not nearly long enough.
No, I was thinking the same thing.
My favorite thing about Yahoo is Microsoft was trying to buy them, and I think they were offering like $60 billion or something like that. Mm. And the founder basically poison pilled it, and then they sold for not even half of that.
Wow.
And all the shareholders were like, had to be like, dude, fuck you.
And as far as I'm concerned, that's about the only interesting thing.
What's some other stuff on that list?
All right, I'll scroll back up. There's supposed to be new music coming out, a total eclipse for the South America.
Total eclipse of my heart.
That was just dumb. there's a 100-year, I guess we passed the 100-year Treaty of Versailles, World War I. That was January 10th.
I still need to watch that Peter Jackson thing.
I do too.
I've been wanting to watch it.
God, that's really not that interesting. There's supposed to be more books coming out and being released on Kindle.
Do you guys care about any music? I mean, I don't really follow music like I used to, so there's not a whole lot of bands. I'm like, yes!
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I'm not interested. And I guess a few clinics and where's the other part of it? There's this Cleveland Clinic counts down some of their most anticipated things in medical technology. There's supposed to be a new thing for people with peanut allergies coming out this year. Yeah, I don't care. If you can't have peanuts, don't eat a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. I mean, it's pretty easy. Game consoles is 15 on their list.
The new Xbox is coming out this Christmas, which I will be buying because my Xbox, my day one edition, Xbox One, is dying a slow death.
Yeah, it's it really slowly is.
No, mine seriously sounds like Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. Oh, geez. There's been, you start up, you hear it go, ching, 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 ching. I've actually, to believe it or not, to install a game, I actually hit it, and it works. It's like, you know, I do a red, you know, the dad from that 70s show, and it works most of the time.
You threaten to put your foot up its ass?
No, I just hit it.
So I guess the Bollinger B2 is supposed to be their big old brawny truck from Tesla will be out this year.
Oh, the Cybertruck?
Eh. Yeah, for $125,000. Is that all?
Honestly, it looks like something from a post-apocalyptic movie, and I'm not even remotely interested. It's not like, by the way, not like I can afford it, but for $120,000-something, I could think of a lot funner things to get.
Yeah, no shit. So, I guess August 13th, the New York Yankees and the Chicago White Sox will be playing against each other. And this is, I guess, the inspiration of Feel the Dream. Anyways, whatever. Honestly, the high-speed rail will be coming out this year in the U.S.
Oh, sorry. I thought you were talking about California. I'm sorry.
No. Hold on. Let me see. Yeah, it will be coming from Victorville, California to Vegas. Some of the states that they're going to interlink with this thing. That'll be interesting.
So if you're close to Victorville, you get to go to Las Vegas fairly fast.
Yeah.
Allegedly.
Yeah. Broadway will be doing a bunch of shows, remakes. Can you believe that Broadway is doing remakes just like movies? Fuck.
I have to admit, like, I'll never go to New York because I'm not super interested. But if I was ever to go to New York, I actually do think it would be cool to see a Broadway play. Yeah. But it would have to be a classic. Yeah, I don't really care for most shit. Like, seeing Phantom of the Opera on Broadway would be pretty bomb.
Yeah, but, I mean, I don't know. Maybe if the high-speed rail can hook up to New York, John can go there for probably a pretty freaking pricey ass ticket.
Well, that requires me to want to leave my house. So,
and can you believe that the last thing on CNN's list, I skipped over a few things, mostly about music and other bullshit. That the last thing on their list is that it's going to be a new decade. That's literally the last fucking thing on their list. I'm like, are you okay? I mean, yeah, granted, we're not going to have another one for 9 years, but are you
technically
that's 20? You guys ran out of shit to say, didn't you?
Well, technically, 2019 was the start of the new decade.
That's what I'm saying. So that's why I'm like, you know, I mean, like, you got 9 years, and this, you guys freaking ran out of shit to write.
I don't know. Like, usually these lists are like, you know,
dumb.
Yeah.
I think a couple things are pretty good on it. Like, I mean, like, I'm actually more excited to see the Marble Olympics and the 2020 Olympics now that Ryan told me about them. And but, there's really no movies I'm jumping to see. There's no artists making music that I can't wait for.
Well, right now, the one I really want to see, and I'm hoping it's good because if not, I'm going to be pissed, was Ghostbusters. I really want to see. I mean, like, after I saw the image, it has me jonesing. Now, the problem usually is my idea of what they're going to do is usually better than what they actually do.
See, I think you might have Lord of the Rings series, you know, thing going on like I did, but for Ghostbusters.
Well, they made the problem is, you see what Hollywood does when they made the last version of the Ghostbusters. Now, I'm not talking crap about anybody in it because it's a payday and everybody deserves to get a payday, but I'm really upset the fact they turned a movie that was funny by itself to Keystone Cops. I'm no interest in seeing Keystone Cops meets Ghostbusters. It's not funny.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
If I wanted to see slapstick, I'd literally watch Keystone Cops, which is mildly amusing.
Or any Danny DeVito movie, right, John?
What's his name? The guy who played My Cousin Vinny. He's hilarious. Joe Pesci.
Thanks, yeah. I was trying to think of it, too.
Joe Pesci's fucking hilarious.
Yeah, I think if I was going to watch somebody doing comedy, it would be I would go for Joe Pesci over Danny DeVito.
So do you know they found fungus that eats radiation and it's growing on the walls of the Chernobyl's ruined nuclear reactor?
Hell yeah.
No, I didn't. By the elephant's foot?
So hold on. This is from realscience.com, and it's a recent one. So let me see if I can find it. Let's see. Where is it? Stupid. Yes, I get it. There's cookies. Let's see. Where is it? In the eerie environment inside the abandoned Chernobyl nuclear power plant, researchers remotely piloting robots spotted pitch-black fungus growing on the walls of the decimated number 4 reactor, and apparently breaking down radioactive graphite from the core itself. What's more, the fungus seems to be growing towards the source of the radiation, as if the microbes were attracted to them. More than a decade later, the University of Saskatchewan professor somebody or other, and her colleagues acquired some of the fungus. They found that growing, where was it? Let's see. 3 species tested, all large amounts have pigment melanin, which is found among many places in the skin of humans. People with darker skin have much more melanin, which is known to absorb light and ultraviolet radiation. So apparently Mother Nature is finding ways to defeat, radiation, which I think that's badass, especially if it's something that just actually
Is it negating the effects of the radiation over time?
That's what it reads like to me, because it says it was eating the radiation and growing. And later in that article,
or is it becoming superpower? Like, is this going to be a benefit or a problem for future generations?
That still remain to be seen, but right now it seems to be actually growing, because it said, the article said what I just read, saying that the fungus is actually growing towards the cause of the radiation, which could be the elephant's foot. Now, the question is, what happens when you got a bunch of radioactive mushrooms? I mean,
I know. I'm wondering, is that going to become a delicacy?
They're going to go great in pizza and whatever year Fallout's made.
Or is radiation now walking away from the source? You know what I'm saying?
Well, since it's actually in the chamber itself, I doubt it's going to go anywhere. But that's the one thing the article doesn't say. I mean, they seem to be super excited that you have something that can naturally destroy radiation, like the graphite rods. But there wasn't anything in the article I read that this said that they were worried about what the spores do or et cetera. It sounds like what happens is it takes the nuclear radiation and turns it into some sort of protein or whatever mushrooms grow off of. So it sounds like it's just turning it into energy to grow. Now, I'm kind of wondering if they're slightly radioactive, though.
I mean, it probably, but, you know, if it's less radioactive, then that's interesting that they might be able to get in there a little sooner than they thought.
Yeah, well, my thought is if they're using it for power, I mean, if they're actually using the energy to grow, in theory, they could actually evolve to the point where they're using all their radiation towards actually growing. So maybe there wouldn't be radioactive. I bet they're not safe to humans, though.
Well, it says, I just kind of scanned and sped read through quite a bit of this article. Melanin is something in the mushrooms that genetically engineered into photosynthetic plants to boost their productivity, or melanin-bearing fungi could be. The web page just is something weird. So basically, what they're saying is that the melanin is basically transforming that into it's converting it into different types of energy. So they're basically feeding off it, just like it feeds off the sun. And that's why they're growing towards it, is because that's where they get their energy source from.
The article, though, doesn't state whether it's using all of it or if some of it.
No, it doesn't specify that, but they're really curious now to see, like, if some of the other black type mushrooms, truffles being one of them, has that in them, and they just never knew it. So they're going to start, according to this, sounds like they're going to start actually transferring this into finding out other mushrooms which are not absorbing radiation to see if they can use it to absorb radiation like you're talking about.
Now, I would not
be that's pretty interesting.
I would not be surprised, since this is realistically, I'm assuming this is the most amount of constant radiation anything has gotten. I don't think even Nagasaki or Hiroshima was as bad, like, period of time-wise than this is. I would not be surprised if this was just a fluke. You know, if it was something that the constant radiation happened to make this plant change. You know, because if you're in a you know, dark place, you know, no yada yada. But mushrooms eat decay, though, don't they? They're not, they don't use, I didn't think they were use photosynthesis like typical plants do.
No, but that's kind of what they're, that's why they're saying it's so strange to see this and to see what's going on with it. That's why they're searching other areas to study it more, to figure out what exactly is going on. Because as they said, they don't know what it's converting it into, or even if it is converting it. But they're saying that the pigment, they're not sure if it's absorbing the radiation in it. And that's how they're able to survive in it. But that's what they're trying to figure out. Which is really weird, because I never heard of this. And this article that I'm looking at is from 2007. So this is quite a long time ago.
Yeah, because this one was the one I looked up was recent. It's from 2020. But
they're talking about that they were already noticing it back in 2007. And this is written about the Chernobyl mushrooms.
So close to 20 years later, they're finding out that it does something, that it's actually growing more.
Yeah, that's weird.
Hey, that's badass. Anything they find out to actually eat radiation, because that's the one issue with nuclear power. I mean, early nuclear power, I have heard that, I don't know how much is true, I've heard new nuclear power plants are a lot safer and they're designed differently. My cousin was talking about how instead of using rods, they actually use pellets. And I guess the process is a little safer. It's not as dangerous.
Huh. Interesting.
I mean,
the modern nuclear power plant compared to, you know, the Three Mile Island stuff and the Chernobyl stuff is way different.
Yeah. Have either of you watched Dark? I know I've mentioned it to you guys.
Dark?
Yeah. It's a Netflix show.
What is it?
Dark.
Oh, no.
Doesn't sound familiar.
I'm pretty sure I mentioned it to both of you. Ryan might be remembering it, but no, it's a town in Germany that has a nuclear power plant, and it's kind of the story is kind of mixed between a bunch of different things, and it's a freaking trippy ass show. It's theoretical astrophysics type stuff too, so there is a lot of thinking that goes into the show, and it's pretty damn interesting. So
here's a Dark 2019 Netflix series. A missing child sets four families on a frantic hunt for answers as they unearth a mind-bending mystery that spans three generations?
Yeah, them using that mind-bending is pretty true. Because I mean, this is one of the shows that actually went and did research and looked into some of the things that they're hinting at. Because as I said, it's theoretical.
So it's
a pretty trippy-ass show.
And there's two seasons?
Yeah. Yeah, I just finished the season a couple months ago, and I'm just still like, what the fuck?
I honestly haven't heard of it.
But it's one of those that you're doing subtitles, because I prefer not seeing people's lips moving and voices talking out of sync.
You know, so we got to go, but I thought every time you mention that to me, and it makes me laugh, is I've been watching like anime with subtitles for so long that
it doesn't bother us.
I don't actually notice the fact they're speaking another language. It legitimately, the only time it bothers me if I'm doing something else, like if I want to try to work out, I have a hard time working out and reading subtitles, or if I'm cooking, that's the only time it really bothers me. Besides that, I legitimately, like half the time I'm forgetting it's in another language because I'm so used to it.
Yeah, but I mean, as far as I'm concerned, it really doesn't bother me as long as it's such an intriguing story that I'm following it, that I'm interested enough to read it. Because if I'm not, be like, what the fuck is going on? Where did this guy come from?
No, I completely, the story has to be somewhat engrossing that you're willing to do it. But honestly, for me, that's the way it is with everything. I have to be, I'll usually sit through the first episode of most things, unless it's just absolutely god awful that I can't get through it. You know, there's been a few things I watched within 10 minutes. I'm like, this is not getting better. 20 minutes later, I was right. It didn't get better.
Yeah, but I think both of you would actually like it, but it's full-on theoretical astrophysics type story.
It's
actually a bit of astrophysics. And you'd have to watch the show to understand why I say that.
Well, but, yeah, we are over time.
Yeah.
Eventually, this show is going to become 2 hours, and everybody's wondering why they keep just talking.
Rambling on.
So
you got to ramble on.
Anybody have any?
We'll cut it down to 45 in post.
Not likely. Nobody has time for that. Anybody have any closing statements?
No.
Well, the rambling man is going to ramble on. So, ladies and gentlemen, for the California Pariah, Jonathan Charney James, the Fat Man Stevens, and Ryan Preston, as always, thank you for listening.
Goodbye.